This is a Kitty Pod production. The Keep It To Yourself podcast is recorded on the ancestral land of the Mohican tribe. This episode is recorded by a live human being who will be talking to another live human being for the benefit of other live human beings. You're welcome.
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live!
From Television City in Hollywood.
Hey, man!
Welcome to episode number 190 of the Keep It To Yourself podcast, the most above average podcast ever to hit your ear holes. Just think, we are 10, count them, 10 episodes away from number 200. Wowee, hard to believe we've been doing it this long. But anyway, let's get off that cloud and tell you that my name, of course, and as always, is Jason Bullen. He said stumbling out the gate somewhat.
The regulator, innovator, dominator, creator, a theta, pussy, imitator, assassinator, baby.
I'm the man of hour, the man of the power, too sweet to be sour.
They call me Mr. Tibbs.
I'm your friend.
That's right, it's me, Smokey Bear.
Gosh, what a neat guy.
The cream of the crop. Nobody does it better.
Baby, baby.
And I'm coming to you once again from the rolling and sun-drenched hills of Saratoga County, New York. Here we are getting towards the end of July here, at least when this episode is slated to come out. And unfortunately, it means we're past the halfway point of the summer of 2023. However, for the Littles, it also means we're getting to the summer of Littles, where fans of the Tony Kornheiser show gather in all corners of the circular globe and get to make merry and do whatever it is they do in such establishments. I'll be heading up the virtual venue. Actually, I'll be participating in it, really. So, I've learned my lesson from the last 2 years of trying and failing to organize events, only to have them canceled almost immediately, or right at the 11th hour or some such, having to notify Bob Walsh, whom I'm going to hopefully have as the last guest. I'm saving the organizer for last, the big kahuna, the grand poobah, if you will. The man behind the organization and making sure everything goes smoothly and all that stuff, all copacetic and like that. So they have it right there. Well, we're going to continue the Little Chats series, or just Little Chats. Don't want to split atoms here. And we're going to have Joe Arrow as our guest. Oh, looking forward to this one, ladies and gentlemen. This is one you're going to treasure for a good long time, I'm willing to bet. Well, enough about him for now. Let's get to the social media before I get myself run down by a Subaru in the middle of the street. You can follow me on Instagram at Keep It To Yourself Podcast. There's also the Facebook page. Still mulling over whether to join Threads. But it's rather hard when you got it linked with an Instagram account, so that's my civilian Threads. I won't give it away. It's the same address. But in any way, there's also the world's loneliest email, kitypod@gmail.com. So there's that. All right, not much to talk about in the vanity portion, so that means we're going to get right to the interview. All right, this is going to be interesting. I'm going to love this episode. I'll pay him no heed. Besides, you don't want to hear that guy. You want to hear old Joey the Jammer himself, Joe Arrow. I was fortunate enough to have a chat with him. He talked with us at his home in Ellicott City, Maryland. Or Ellicott City, Maryland. He'll probably correct me on that. I wouldn't be surprised. Wouldn't hold it past him. Or put it past him, really. Oh, well, you'll get on with it. Oh, gee, I thought we were going to be free of you the whole episode. Jeez. Cancel it out. Swings and roundabouts. Anyway, you don't want to hear that guy. You want to hear Joey the Jammer himself. Well, it's not going to take very long, thankfully. We're going to get you out to the interview right now.
It's getting kind of late. I'm low on gas. Hey! Bumper to bumper, no one can move. Hey, I'm nothing where I don't approve. Come on down. We're closing in on hour 25. I don't know if I'll get home alive. Call out the guard and no
Oh, okay, he's ready. Howdy.
Howdy.
How you doing there, bud?
Man, myth, legend. How are you, Jason?
Doing good, thanks. All right, I got recording in progress. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are continuing the Little Chat series, and this man is one of my favorite jinglers of all time. These are the guys that do the mailbag jingles on the Tony Kornheiser show to mark the end of every episode.
Not everyone.
You got that going for it, which is nice. And just back from Delaware by his hat, not that you can see it or anything, it's Joey the Jammer himself, Joe Arrow.
Welcome. Well, it's a pleasure to join you, Jason. I've listened to your podcast for years. It's been around probably longer than any of the other ones. I mean, except for Negrelli's. I think you started yours like 2015 or 2016.
Right? 17. There, well, 17 thereabouts. So it's been the 6+ years. So I've been going at for a while, which is a long time to go to do anything. Which is
I'm gonna have to check you on that because I'm pretty sure that I did a Thanksgiving song back in like
2015
or 2016, and I know you played it on a Thanksgiving episode
of the Katy. Yes, 20. Yeah,
I gotta check the date on that.
Yeah. Sorry to talk over you, but
that's
you
okay.
Montage for the jingles for Thanksgiving, except that one year though, where COVID and everything. I just did a deep dive on the Turkeys Away episode of WKRP in Cincinnati.
One of my favorite. That's probably my favorite all-time sitcom. We have that. We have that in common. If it's one of yours,
that's right. Okay, well, let's get the Joe Arrow just fresh back from Delaware. Let's get the origin story of Joey the Jammer. Feel free. You have the floor.
Well, by origin, I'm guessing you mean what I did to get interested in radio stuff. And
okay, we'll talk about that. But you, the person, you've lived in Maryland just about your entire life, or most of it.
Yeah, I grew up in Baltimore. I'm saying Baltimore because everybody makes fun of the way I really say it.
So if you talk like Jason Lock on Four sometime, like, hey, Balmer,
I grew up in Balmer, and
Yes, all right.
I didn't have a dog that would yell at me when I talked the way I talked, but still.
I'm maintaining the accent. That's what I miss about Lock on Four calling in. You don't hear from Copper. He just dog.
I don't understand why he doesn't include the dog anymore. I mean, I know the dog got upset, but it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. I like that. It was funny. Yeah,
I don't understand why they don't do that anymore. I mean, people love that.
Yeah, I liked it too. I'm not alone. So. Grew up in Baltimore.
When I was a kid in Baltimore, I was an Orioles fan, and I grew up with when I was like 7, 8, 9 into the Baltimore Colts, the football team.
Yeah, before what's his name did the thing there with the Mayflower truck.
Yeah.
If you got the Ravens now, you're like, it's all good.
No. I mean, they were rumored to be gone in '83. And it looked that way. And the Elway thing happened in the draft of '83, if you remember that.
He
refused to come to Baltimore and went to Denver. Mm-hmm. That's another story. But then the Washington Redskins were that was the start of the glory days. And January of '84, they moved the Colts to Indianapolis, and they had a paper. The local newspaper in Baltimore was the News American.
Mm-hmm.
They did a reader's poll. What should we do about covering the NFL? Should we cover the Colts and Indy? Should we cover the Washington Redskins because they're the nearest other team? Or should we just cover the NFL in general? So I voted and I was only 13, but the Redskins won the poll. I couldn't believe it.
How much of a margin? Was that like a wide margin?
It wasn't a wide margin because so many of the old people in Baltimore hated, like my grandfather used to say, I'd rather sell my soul to the gypsies than root for the Redskins. He would say that to me. First time I wore a Redskins jersey in front of him, he's like, what are you doing? Like, they're my team now. We don't have a team here. to God, he said that to me. And he watched the Super Bowl with me that made me pretty much knew I was going to adopt them after I heard all the rumors the Colts were leaving. When Riggins ran for the 43-yard touchdown on 4th-and-1, my grandfather sat there and said, this guy is the best white running back you'll ever see. That's what he said. My grandfather said that.
My best white running back. Christian McCaffrey, anyone?
I mean, this was before him, but yeah.
That was long before him.
Well, long yeah. before. No, but Riggins was like, everybody thought he was a fullback, but he was a fullback who could run track. He ran track in college. He won all these sprints, national sprint champion. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Riggins was the real deal. And he was the reason why really I wanted to adopt the Redskins. I had no like ties to them other than they were the nearest other team. And so from that moment on, I was a Skins fan. And then the Ravens came in 96. I'm like, hell no, I'm too invested. Yeah. I'm not switching.
You're going inside the beltway. You're not going up the inner harbor. Up 95. No.
No. We, you know, I was in Delaware today.
Yeah, you told me about her.
She's going to Delaware in the fall. And
well, congrats to her. People
there, they're Eagles fans.
Oh boy.
I wore my black Washington Commanders rain jacket because it was pouring down when we left. And I'll tell you what, I got some dirty looks. But then in the school, there was a sophomore girl who shouted out, "Go Commanders!" And I'm like, we started talking to her. She said, "I'm from PG County. Are you from Maryland?" I'm like, "Yes." I said, "I'm glad to see it because it's the only friendly face I saw all day with my jacket on."
That would be like me being a Giants fan. If I went down to Delaware or heaven forbid, I find myself in that part of Pennsylvania, I'd be like, "Oh, only friendly face here. You're one of us. That's good."
That's right. You're a Giants. Oh, you're a Giants and a Yankees fan. That's right.
Yeah. Well, it's been a rough couple of months in more ways than one. I mean, Aaron Judge injured his toe, and then we got the whole Saquon Barkley drama with the Giants. That's another story for another time.
Right.
Orioles, back to your fandoms. They're having a great season this year.
That's another thing. I didn't see a second of the game today. We lost the last two to the Dodgers, and people around here are like freaking out, like, "Oh, here comes the collapse.
Here comes
they should get rid of this guy. They should cut this guy. They should send this guy down." But he has a 2-game losing streak after an 8-game winning streak. They're 1 game out of first. Today, they beat the Dodgers 8-5. So they've salvaged the third game of the series, and Tampa Bay lost their fourth in a row, and now dead even. 4 games this weekend with Tampa Bay.
Oh boy! So we're recording this on Wednesday night, July 19th.
Yeah.
So got that to look forward to this weekend for those of you down in the DMV and especially in Ballmer.
Showdown weekend. Yes.
Showdown, Horn. I do. How's my Ballmer accent? How's that?
It's pretty good. It's pretty damn good. It's better than mine, I think, nowadays, because I got criticized so much. After a few times on some of the, like when I went into Tony's show, when I actually went in the studio, I don't even remember what year it was. It was 2016 or 2017. And
the undisclosed location.
You know, they, Gary had a few things to say. You could tell you're from Baltimore, and somebody else said something. And I think maybe it was Hampton Nager. You know who Hampton Nager is? One of the prolific emailers of the show. He calls out the Baltimore accent a whole lot, at least on Facebook to me. So yeah. But yours is pretty good.
Oh, that's good. All right. So you have a background in radio production from what I recall. Talk about that, go right ahead, man.
I went to broadcasting school. It was not a college. It was like it's pretty much a trade school. When I got out of high school, I went to the Broadcasting Institute of Maryland, and I graduated with a diploma in 89 because I knew I wanted to do something in radio. That was the first thing I ever wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a job at 98 Rock, WIYY, right out of school. The lady who did the research department. She was like the research director of 98 Rock. She would look for people who just graduated from schools like that. And she would, you know, she would pretty much ask us to come in for an interview. And we were all like doing research and jack of all trades. We were like doing like production. We would go in and learn the trade and like splice tape together. Back then it was all reel to reel. If you believe that.
Placement thumb.
Yeah, so, I mean, I was never as good as I should have been, though. But there was a DJ on 98 Rock. His name was Mark Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
Called him the Cruiser. That was his air name. Mm-hmm. He had a show called Baltimore After Dark. We're talking 1992, 93. He was the first down-to-earth DJ that I ever met when I worked there, and he would invite me to come to the air booth when our shift was over at 9:30 at night. We wouldn't be done until 9:30.
Wow.
And he would show me the tricks. He would show me how to splice. He would show those of us who were interested how it was done. And sadly, he passed away a few years ago, but he's the guy. He's the guy who I credit getting me really interested in doing what he was doing. But I was watching some of the other guys. I could never learn how to do the stuff the way a lot of the other ones did it. I'm like, I got to think of some other way. I only stayed there for like, I stayed there for 10 years and we did everything, but I didn't want to like leave town. If they always tell you, if you want to make it big, you got to go to a small market, get on the air in a small market. That's how you can become a DJ. Then you can go wherever you want to go. But I never wanted to move away. So that was my problem. So then I pretty much moved on from radio and I got a job doing titles and abstracting. It's real estate stuff.
Oh, wow.
I always had the itch to do something productive with the radio side. And then, I mean, it all goes from there. We're talking, I didn't even get to do it and to do anything about it until the jingle started. But
oh, yeah. Well, we're going to get to that right now. You just point me in that direction, sir. And knocking dancing Danny Booze, are we, hon?
This is a Michelob Ultra, so.
Okay, Michelob Ultra. Oh, I forgot. I don't think Natty Bo's come in bottles, so.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm not a big Natty Bo fan, believe it or not. I mean, kind of a heavy beer. I don't really drink heavy beers anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, people swear by it, but I've never been a Natty Bo fan, so.
I haven't had them in a long time, so can't speak to that. All right, well, back to jingles here. This is probably what got you on the road to do those jingles that are heard at the end of every episode of the Tony Kornheiser Show. I think it has to be going back to radio days.
Yep. We're talking 2013.
So 10 years ago, you've been at this a while.
Well, I've listened to Tony since the ESPN radio days. That was the 90s, but you know, he didn't really like open it up like he did in 2013. I got the Washington Post because I was a Skins fan in the 80s, and he was my favorite columnist. And I think the first time I heard him on the radio, I was really put off by him because I loved the way he wrote, but I couldn't stand the way he complained about everything. Like, I would listen to the radio show. And I'm like, this guy complains about every little thing. But you know what? I kept coming back for more.
That'd be a pill, I guess.
I mean, I think I'm gonna credit Gary Braun and Gene McManus because they brought out his other qualities because, you know, he was a grouch. But with them in the booth, they were like, that's my favorite team with the three of them in the booth together. Tony, Gary, and Gene is the best team they ever had on the show.
Yeah. And that's what I miss about the pre-COVID Tony Kornheiser show when they had the undisclosed location, then when they had chatter, then we had the radio station, then COVID hit. You know, having all those guys like Gary Braun, Gene McManus, Tory Clark, David Aldridge, Saliza, you know, et cetera, Luke Russert, maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what I miss about that part of the Tony Kornheiser show. I still listen, even though he's doing the show from home now, but it's just not the same.
And a lot of people complain about that. At least he gets the girls on there sometimes. Like, he had Liz on recently. Gene still pops up every now and then. But I really miss Gary. And the intergalactic editor, did you leave him out?
Oh, yeah, Dr. Professor Feynman. Yeah, I know. I miss him, too.
I miss him terribly.
But, well, we dropped. Watch your feet, folks. The names are dropping all over the joint. All right, so.
I'll tell you the story of the first time I wanted to do a jingle. It's Jerry Negrelli. Jerry Negrelli had a parody in the very beginning. Mm-hmm. He did a parody of a song by Kenny Rogers in the first edition, and it was called Just Dropped In to See What Condition My Condition Was In. You know the song? Yep. Do you remember the jingle?
Yeah.
Do you remember the jingle?
I never heard. I wasn't listening around that time, but
all right. Well, this was the second year of Robert Griffin in DC.
Yep.
It was the year of I'm all in for week one. It was the year after he tore his knee up in the playoff game. And 2013 was the second year of his career. And it was like, I'm going to be back for the opener and everything's going to be fine. So Jerry did a song, a jingle parody of the Kenny Rogers song, just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in. And it went, I just dropped in to see what condition Robert Griffin was in. And I was freaking blown away by that. And I'm like, I got to do something.
Oh, man. That's what started, man. You've made a kid. Well, now it's like every jingle you hear, like you got to go on littlesongs.net for that stuff. But it was great. Like here, like, all right, who's doing it now? Is it Joe Arrow? Is it Brad Weiss? Is it Steve Lipton? Is it Kirsten Onstad?
The glory days, they seem to be past us. They don't really play many anymore, but they also don't receive as many. But a lot of these former jinglers have moved on and they've done other things with their lives.
Yeah.
Sean Morrissey, Jason. Who am I forgetting? Brad Weiss will still throw in a song here and there. John Fitzpatrick moved to Colorado, I hear. He still listens to the podcast, but he really doesn't sing that much anymore. But we just got done our eighth Jingle Fest last month. Yeah. And, you know, it used to be eight or nine of us performing. It's down to four or five. Like it's... It's the Negrellis, Jerry and his wife. And then it's Steve Lipton. And it's KJ comes from Minneapolis. She comes down. She still loves to do it.
Yeah.
And there's me. And we also have, let me forget, Anthony Beeson.
He shows up,
he plays his piano. It's a wonderful thing. And I can't believe you've never tried to make one.
Yeah, like that little toy piano reminds me of like Schroeder from Peanuts. Toy piano.
that's what he brings. It's part of the charm.
It's part of the charm, yes. All right. Well, that was great. That was a great discussion right there. So, all right, just a couple of quick questions before I let you go. I mean, we'll talk jingle some more here. I think last year you started getting your daughter involved. We mentioned her just moments ago.
Yes.
College bound. She started getting into that, helping Danny out with the jingles.
Well, she's always loved to sing. And I met her mother at a karaoke bar in 2002. So it makes sense that she would like to sing because we both like to sing. So she got into that. But as soon as she was old enough to understand what I was doing, I asked her to duet with me on one. I don't remember what the first one was. We've only done like six, seven, eight. Yeah. But
yeah, Haribo.
I'm sorry for talking over you. Go on.
Yep.
She did a version of Gary's theme, you know, the regular She did a version of that before she helped me out with anything, and that was in 2014. So she was 8 years old.
Wow.
And she made the show, and I've got it. It's on littlesongs.net. You can go on there and look for you type in M-A-C-K-I-E. You can find her version of Gary's theme. And there you can hear the little kid in her voice.
There you go right there. So, all right. So a couple of questions related to TK, and then I'll let you go. I know you've had a long day going out to Delaware. University of Delaware, that is. Who is your...
Go Blue Hens.
Go ahead.
I said go Blue Hens.
All right. So who is your favorite member of the old gang that used to be part of the show until COVID hit? Like, you know, you mentioned Gary, you mentioned Gene. Those are probably the two right there.
It's definitely Gary. Yeah, you can feel the void when Gary, you know, he brought so much humor and he still goes to lots of the events. Like, we're going to do the Summer Littles. He goes to that every August. Yeah. Are you going? Yep. You're going to host one?
I'm doing the virtual venue. I think it's Michael Wind and I think it's this one guy is up in Calgary. They decided they're going to host the event. I did one of those 2 years ago. Bob Walsh was the host.
Yes, I love Bob.
That's where I first saw Gary and Bobby Gottfried.
Bobby's the trivia master.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully I'll have him on deck between now and the next couple of weeks or so.
Yeah, well, he's definitely going to do it, right? I thought.
He sent the form in. So,
you know who else I want to mention? Another favorite that's still on the show. I don't want to leave this guy out because I don't like golf. I'm not like a golf fan, but I love listening to Steve Sands.
Yeah, he was on today before this. He was at that hotel.
He can make you interested in golf. And he's like so down to earth. I've met him in person. I've met him at Chatter. I met his brother at Jingle Fest weekend this year. For the first time, I met his brother. I mean, they're like everyday guys, you know, they're just cool. And I love him on the show, even though I don't mind the golf talk. I won't fast forward through it, but I'm not a golf fan.
Yeah. And of course, Steve Sands, they yell at him La Cheeserie. That's where that came from.
Where it all started.
Yeah. That's where
it's because of him, his family's liquor store.
That's right. Counter. And I think people at golf tournaments yell at La Cheeserie after a tee shot, like La Cheeserie or Dilly Dilly or
the guy who was finished second in Survivor a couple of years ago. He shouted it out on national TV.
Wow. So this thing has really gotten legs in the last however long it's been.
Yeah, it's still getting shouted, and Tony still loves to hear it whenever it gets shouted out somewhere.
That's good. All right, one last question, and then I'll let you go. Over or under?
It's always been under, and I know I'm in the minority, but I take the under just like Chuck Todd.
There you go, sleepy eyes, Chuck Todd and Reginald the Monkey. Dad, he's probably for Clint now with Bud Grant passing away. Now Chuck Todd's going to be leaving Meet the Press, I heard.
Yeah, yeah. I forgot who was replacing him. I think it's
Chris Walker, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
For the first time ever.
Well, that just frees him up for more spots on TK. He'll probably become a guest host more often than just Wednesday or Friday.
Oh, there you go right there. So, all right. Well, Joe Arrow, anything you want to promote or plug or anything like that? If not, we can just sign off right here.
Yeah, I don't really have anything to promote, but I would say that if you miss jingles, I know you don't hear them on the show as much as you used to, but people still do them. And Jerry Negrelli still has the website up. You can go there anytime and listen to anything. And there's like a big search bar, littlesongs.net. That's all I'd like to promote because I go on there still all the time and I listen to all my favorites.
There you go, from current and also way back.
Yep.
All right. Well, Joe Arrow, thanks for talking with me in this little chat series. And I certainly wish your daughter well as she starts college in the fall at the University of Delaware.
I'll pass on your warm wishes, Jason, and I appreciate it. Thanks for asking me to come on with you.
Oh, I really appreciate it. This was a fun interview.
You're very welcome, sir.
Let's play some songs. Let's listen to Joe Arrow, who combined with Jason Fuse. Jason Fuse had the idea, and Joe Arrow put the words down and sung one more for Trotsy. Go ahead. It's a great Frank Sinatra saloon song, kids. Well,
I feel like it's a smoky ballroom right now.
It's quarter to two. And I can't fall asleep, I'm feeling so blue. I was rocking the red, fired up for game seven. What the hell, Ted?
That's a great line. What the hell, Ted?
My emotion soared when Alex scored, but it's the same episode. So make it one more for the losers. One more for the road.
Joe Arrow can really sing.
Nice, like the
He turned this around overnight.
Yes. Unbelievable.
It's one of
I got the routine. You get us all excited, then rip out our spleen. Yeah, 3-1 peak. They let it slip away. Cats, they're never on fleek. team full of frauds. They're choking dogs, staying true to their code. So just make it one more for trot, trot, trots in. One more for the road.
It's just, that's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's pretty amazing. Good. That's pretty good.
Thanks once again to Joe Arrow for participating in this little chat series. I certainly appreciate it. I also want to thank those of you for your feedback on the episode I did with Dina Yagodich, or Dina in Damascus, really, that kicked this whole series off last week. In fact, Dina herself, when I sent her the interview clip, not the whole episode, she had this to say.
Looks good.
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 Hopefully I'll get some more between now and when Summer of Littles events are scheduled to take place on the 5th of August. So they have it right there. Thanks again to Joe Arrow. Well, that's the show, but before I go, I just want to say, come on, try a little. Nothing is forever. There's got to be something better than in the middle. But me and Cinderella, we put it all together. We can drive it home with one headlight. Summer of 97 vibes right there. It's Jacob Dylan and the Wallflowers with, well, one headlight right there. That was a chorus, at least. Before I go, I just want to let you know this podcast is available free of charge on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, insert name of podcatcher here. Now, if the podcatcher to which you're listening to us, or you want to listen to us, doesn't have us, well, here's a little hack for you. Take the RSS feed from the show notes, copy it, paste it onto the podcatcher, you're good to go. Get the numbers up one way or the other. Thanks in advance for the support. And speaking of which, if the podcatcher to which you're listening to this fine podcast has rating and or review capabilities, give yours truly a 5-star rating and a good write-up. So thanks in advance for all that once again. And that'll do it for episode 190 of the Keep It To Yourself podcast. I certainly thank you for listening, especially if you're a little. Hopefully we'll have more of these people on between now and the first Saturday of August. So thanks again for listening. I truly appreciate it. Never take the audience for granted. I'm sure Dr. Grandpa Hoffwaff feels the same way about his audience. Anyway, I'll talk to you on the next one, and hopefully it'll be soon. And I'll have more to talk about than just doing these interviews. And as always, and above all else, if you're on your bike tonight, do wear white. Otis lives.
Now we're not gonna fucking do Stonehenge!